The first reading, which will serve as the sermon text this morning, from Revelation chapter 7. After these things I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing in front of the throne and of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands. They called out with a loud voice and said, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." One of the elders spoke to me and said, "These people dressed in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" And I answered him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who are coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Because of this, they are in front of the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. They will never be hungry or thirsty ever again. The sun will never beat upon them, nor will any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to that last verse of Revelation chapter 7. "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what a vision! What a view! Perhaps you've had an opportunity to think that to yourself or even express it as you stood on a vista, perhaps on a high hillside overlooking a beautiful valley below. Perhaps in the recent colors, changes of the season, you've had a chance to go up north and see something marvelous like that, something spectacular with all the colors, and you have a great vantage point to look down at it all. What a sight! How beautiful! We consider something similar in our text for today as well. As we step back and look, we see an incredible view. So we cry out today, "What a view!" But this view in Revelation doesn't look that great to everybody. In fact, Revelation 7 is a beautiful ray of sunlight in the midst of terrifying visions that come in chapters 6 through 9. This vision here in Revelation 7 sees the Lamb at the center and everyone around worshiping and serving Him with great gratitude, with great joy. But that's not how everyone sees the Lamb. This Lamb is the one who alone is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. He holds the future in His hands. He controls all things. And as each of those seals is opened and that scroll is revealed, terror comes. The four horsemen, souls under the altar crying out, "How long?" And then the judgment comes. The most powerful people on earth, kings, rulers, military leaders, the rich and the powerful, they run for cover. They hide and ask the hills and the mountains to fall down on them and that they would be buried to hide them from the face of this Lamb. Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. But in this Lamb we see so much more. We know this Lamb another way. He is our shepherd who leads us to springs of living water. And so this view, this amazing view in Revelation chapter 7, the Lamb at the center of the throne, the Lord Jesus allowed John to see what life was like for his believers in heaven. Listen to these words and let them be your comfort today. And as you look, you will see the saints of God, and by his grace, you will see your place there as well. After these things, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing in front of the throne and of the Lamb. What a vision. But boy, today when we see things like that, we see a lot of division. When we see nations coming together, peoples, languages, we see nation at war with nation. We see people opposing people. We see strife and anger, competition, nothing that joins, everything that divides, that separates, everything that harms and destroys, things that bring pain and ultimately death. We see sin and its effects, and it's frightening. So it's startlingly beautiful when God gives us this view of his church, this view of the saints of God in victory from every nation and people and language. We don't see division. We see unity. Everything that divides is gone. We don't see strife. We see harmony in a united purpose of worship and service. And what unites them? What is at the center? They were standing in front of the throne and of the Lamb. They were united by that Jesus, the Lamb of God. John reminded us about this Lamb before as he spoke of John the Baptist's witness, who pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, this Lamb was the one who looked like he was slain. This was the Lamb who had been slain upon the cross. And then how did all of those people, as they gathered there around that throne and that Lamb, how did they look? Clothed in white robes. There you see the saints of God. There they were wearing white, that color of purity, of holiness. A perfect person, a perfect saint who truly belongs around that throne and before that Lamb. What else besides that do we see about these people? They were holding palm branches in their hands. Palm branches, that symbol of victory, of triumph. The crowds waved palm branches to Jesus on Palm Sunday when he rode into Jerusalem. They were expressing the victory and triumph for their King, their Lord, and their Savior. In heaven, these saints are celebrating that victory that the Lamb at the center of the throne has won for them. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, who died that week of Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, who sacrificed his own life to take away the sins of the world. But that one didn't remain dead. He rose again victoriously, and by his resurrection, he won victory over death. By his resurrection, all of those saints in heaven also triumphed over death as well. Well, as we see this vision, as we see this view, a terrifying thought could strike us. We look there and we say, I don't belong there. You see white robes, and you know that stands for perfection, for holiness. And this is a picture of heaven in the presence of God, and you know that you don't belong there because you're not holy, and God is. No, you're marked and stained and tainted with sin all over. You don't belong there, and I don't belong there. And the palm branches of victory, and all you feel in this life is defeat. Perhaps you think of your worship here on earth. How many times have we neglected it? How many times have we failed to give praise to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb? We have not glorified God in our lives on this earth, certainly not the way that we ought to. We have sought to bring glory to ourselves and worship the things of this world. You may think of the service that you've performed for God here on this earth. We have not served God day and night in our lives. We have found service of self a much more frequent work and effort in life, day and night. Think of that service. It's a constant service, a perfect service, complete and whole. All our time, all our being. We'll hear about that next week in God's command. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. We have not performed that perfect service day and night to God. We don't belong there before the throne of God to serve and worship that God with that crowd who is gathered there in heaven. We don't make the cut. But those saints that were standing around the throne were not worshiping each other. They weren't worshiping themselves. The worship is not to you either. No, the worship and the service is directed to that one, to the Lamb. That service, that worship, that goes to God because something came from God to them. Even as they proclaim, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Salvation came from God to them. The Lamb was slain for them. The Lamb of God was raised to life again for them so that He could bring salvation from Him to them. He could grant it to them. That salvation has gone to you too. Salvation from the Lamb to you. They worship and proclaim. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, they were sinners too. But sinners who were purified in the blood of that Lamb, just like you. A sinner who has been purified by the blood of that Lamb. In the waters of baptism, you were washed. You were purified in that blood of the Lamb who was slain for you. Salvation came to you that day that God called you to faith in Him, to faith in that Lamb. Yeah, Paul says so clearly about baptism in Titus chapter 3. He saved us through a washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Yes, you too were washed clean in baptism by virtue of the blood of that Lamb, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so you do belong. Not because of you. You belong because of the salvation that has come from that God, from that Lamb to you. So gone is your terror over your sin. Gone is your fear of judgment for all that you have done wrong, for your poor service to God. Gone is your fear of what comes, every tear that you shed over all the worship of God that you've left undone. God has wiped all those tears away from your face, even as He has wiped even the stain of sin for failed worship away. So God gives us this vision, this view, to encourage us as we're still in the midst of the struggle here in this life. The great tribulation is the tears. The great tribulation is the guilt, the fear that we continue to experience in this life. The temptations to doubt the Lamb's salvation while we are here on this earth. Has His blood really washed me clean, perfectly clean and whole, that I might wear that robe of righteousness? Did He really pay for all my sin, for this sin too? We struggle here with doubts in the great tribulation. And we struggle with other temptations as well. Temptations to turn away from God's salvation. Temptations to sin, which lead us to hunger and thirst more and more for that holy, spotless righteousness. That righteousness that only Jesus has provided for us. But God gives us this vision, this image for us today, here on earth. This view of the saints in heaven. This perfect worship in heaven. all for the Lamb's sake. This perfect view of service in heaven, all for the from the Lamb's salvation. This view of perfect bliss and joy, free from fear or doubt or guilt or tears. He gives us this vision and this view to encourage us while we wait for His return to take us there. Often you hear that sentiment about those who have died. Oh, so-and-so, they're looking down on us. Well, we like to keep our loved ones close to us in our memory and keep them in our hearts. This really is misleading. The fact is that those who are in heaven are in far greater bliss than any of the messes that we see ourselves in the midst of in this life. Fighting, often losing against temptations, suffering pain and sadness and loss, worrying about the things of this life, taking our attention off of the lasting joy that awaits us in heaven. No, it's rather biblical that the reverse is true. While our loved ones are in the bliss of heaven, God gives us a glimpse of them, a view to see them in that bliss. They don't see us in our suffering. How blessed are we to get a glimpse of their joy, a joy that awaits us too. So, like Jacob, who was fleeing from his brother Esau, and at night God gave him a wonderful view of a stairway to heaven and a promise of the Lord God Himself to Jacob. Like God gave to Paul, who still lived with that thorn in his flesh in this life, yet had exceedingly great revelations being encouraged in the midst of that pain on this earth. Like Stephen, who while he was being stoned to death, heaven opened up for him even as he was being martyred so that he could see God and the Lamb at his right hand who was coming to bring him salvation. What visions! What a view! And God has given this to us too in this beautiful picture of Revelation, so that we might have hope and the encouragement as we see those saints of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.